This show is not intended for the politically correct or the close-minded. Enter at the risk of opening your eyes. You have been warned.
Why does the media attack an issue? To get primetime ratings?
In my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in.
The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army.
A moment comes when we step out from the old to the new, and when the soul of a nation, long suppressed, finds utterance.
Kind of catapult to propaganda.
You are listening to Open Eyes with your host, Ira Robinson. From the normal to the paranormal, from government cover-ups to the depths of our consciousness, we aim to explore all things. From the dawn of prehistory to current events, no topic is forbidden and nothing remains hidden.
No more secrets.
Open your eyes and open your mind to the fact that life as we know it is not as we have been taught. Join us at latenightinthemidlands.com or openeyesnetwork.com as we take this brief journey through the depths of the cosmos and explore what it really means to be human.
Many peoples have sacrificed their liberties only to learn to their sorrow that deceit and mockery, poverty and tyranny are their reward.
Whether you're online or offline, intercontinental or intergalactic, hello, and welcome to Open Eyes. So, guys, today is January 23rd. It's a Friday, and it is a very cold day here where we're at in Indiana. Hopefully the weather is a little bit better for you guys wherever you are. I have a pretty large show in line for you tonight, and I hope that you guys will stick around through it all. It's, I think, going to be an interesting conversation. At least I hope so. We're going to be talking about money issues, especially in regards to the government and some of the, well, insane things that are going on spending-wise on the part of our government, as well as some of the information that's coming out about the whole TPP and TPIP, which I will be getting to in the part of the show after the news segment. Before I begin the news, I wanted to give a quick thank you to all of my listeners, as well as to the radio affiliates that have me broadcasting here, including Late Night in the Midlands, .com and K98talk.com. I really appreciate you guys having me aboard. It's been a wonderful experience so far for me, and hopefully a long relationship to come. So, guys, we have been having a really big week here, haven't we? The supposed person that we call the President of the United States came out with his State of the Union address. And of course, it was lie, 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 you know, it just constant stuff that he always does. Well, you know, he's a politician, so we expect them every time that they open their mouths are going to be sending out hot air. But the things that he had to say in that speech, I thought were pretty telling. If you listen to somebody when they do a speech, they tend to reveal information about their true intentions when you look at the words that are being used in the speech. And the day after the speech was done, which was on, Tuesday night, there was somebody put out information about the particular words that the president used during the speech. And I thought it was really interesting that the words that he used the most was our changing America. Those three words were the words that were used the most in the speech. So our changing America. And you could think, if you understand how the patterns go when people do speaking. They tend to reveal their true intentions when you look at the theme of their speech. So in particular, this speech was in regards to our changing America. I thought that was really interesting because he had some things to say in it, which I didn't watch. If you listen to my Wednesday episode from this week on the 21st, you can get a good idea for how I feel about propaganda and the techniques that they use against us with it. And one of the things that I talk about is the fact that I don't listen to speeches and I don't watch speeches when they're being broadcast because I don't want them to use their techniques against me. So I was reading through the transcript of the things that the president had to say, and boy, some of the things that he had to had come across with were just, wow. You can see the direction that they're trying to lead us down. And one of the things that I'm going to talk about tonight is something that he mentioned pretty heavily in the speech, which was trade deals. And that is in particular with this Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Transatlantic Partnership and Investment Partnership. I can't remember the exact wording of it. But anyways, TPP and TPIP, these two trade deals are just sending us straight down the highway to hell. And like I said, I'll get into that in the second part of the show. But for now, I have some news that I wanted to read to you guys. And by the way, if you want to listen to that episode of mine with the propaganda, you can go to my website and go to my archives of the show. It's at openeyesnetwork.com/OE061. If you go to my website, you'll also be able to access all of our archives for our show. And I make them available for free for everybody. I definitely don't believe in charging for listening to my episodes. So on to the news. There was a bit of news that I had run across that I really had to bring forward because actually this enters right into the idea of propaganda. Officials in Newtown have voted to tear down the home where Adam Lanza lived before he carried out the 2012 massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary School. The vote on Wednesday evening by the Newtown Legislative Council approves a proposal by the Board of Selectmen to raise the 3,100 square foot home and keep the land as open space. Neighbors have been pleading with town officials to tear down the house, with one resident saying it's a constant reminder of the evil that resided there. Now, notice the wording that they use in articles like this. First of all, they just flat out say, oh, well, this is evil. This is on and on and on. They don't even say who it is that said the words. It literally could be something that was completely made up, just like the whole Sandy Hook event was made up as well. You can see how this kind of stuff goes. But they're planning on incinerating everything that's in the house. The more to, I guess, hide evidence that none of this crap happened. You see the craziness in it. That's one of the first things that always ends up happening with all of this. Oh, we can't give a chance for people to come along and find memorabilia. So we have to destroy everything and we have to make sure that all evidence is removed. That's how it goes. It goes that way all the time. Pay attention, guys. Computer security researchers fear President Barack Obama's proposed changes to federal hacking laws could put them out of business, could make computers less secure overall, and could put some of them, and maybe even you, in prison. Under the new proposals, sharing your HBO Go password with a friend would be considered a felony. Nate Cardozo, an attorney with the Electronic Frontier Foundation in San Francisco, told an audience of researchers and IT pros on Saturday. The proposed changes to the CFAA and related laws, posted online by the White House early last week, would broaden the definition of computer crime and stiffen penalties for existing crimes, including doubling the maximum penalty for many violations from 10 years to 20 years. It would also subject computer fraud to the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, or RICO Act, of 1970, a law designed to charge mafia bosses with crimes committed by their underlings, but now broadly applied in both criminal and civil cases against all manners of organizations. The RICO edition is likely directed at the type of organized cybercrime that emanates from Russia and other former Soviet bloc countries, but if it becomes a law, it could just as easily be applied to anyone affiliated with any kind of suspect group. And a quote here. Even if you don't do any of this, you can still be guilty if you hang around with people who do. Hanging out in a chat room, giving advice to people, now makes you a member of a criminal enterprise, which will allow the FBI to sweep in and confiscate all of your assets without charging you with a crime. So, right there you can see if you, for example, hang out in the Late Night in the Midlands chat room, let's say. So you go to latenightinthemidlands.com, you click on the chat and listen, you go to the page, and you join in with the conversation. Under the proposed changes that are going to be coming with this whole hacking law, the hacking changes, they can and will enforce criminal charges on anybody that is giving advice, including there were even some cases that were being shown that if you told somebody how to cure their cancer in a chat room, because that is considered to be a crime, you can now be penalized with a felony for doing so in a chat room, and they can enforce it through the RICO provisions that will be used. This is craziness, people. This is insanity. The White House proposal also places electronic intercepting devices in the same category as terrorist weapons training and chemical weapons, making their manufacture, distribution, possession, and advertising a crime. Any such devices and property bought with the proceeds from the sale of such devices would be subject to seizure. But while the heading of that section implies that it is targeting spying devices, the legal language never specifies exactly what kind of an intercepting device it might be. A regular laptop running Firefox with the Wi-Fi sniffing FireSheep extension would qualify, as would the blue boxes for making free long-distance telephone calls that Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak sold their fellow college students before they built their first Apple computer. So you remember there was also another instance given with this. Do you remember also on Wednesday, I talked about the fact that an article came out showing the passwords that were the most used passwords of 2014. That was actually given as an example of what would be considered to be a cyber crime under these new provisions. So me broadcasting that aloud and the information that was in that article aloud over the radio, over the internet, would be considered to be a felonious crime. This is insane. And it's just getting worse, people. Just getting worse. Plants have a hidden internet by using fungus. It's an information superhighway that speeds up interactions between a large, diverse population of individuals. It allows individuals who may be widely separated to communicate and help each other out, but it also allows them to commit new forms of crime. So you see how these two things tie together. They're even looking at and calling plants criminals because, oh, they're committing crimes against each other. Oh, God. Propaganda. No, we're not talking about the internet. We're talking about funguses or fungi. While mushrooms might not be the most familiar part of a fungus, most of their bodies are made up of a massive Most of their bodies are made up of a mass of thin threads known as mycelium. We now know that these threads act as a kind of underground internet, linking the roots of different plants. That tree in your garden is probably hooked up to a bush several meters away, thanks to mycelia. Suzanne Simard now believes that large trees help out small, younger ones using the fungal internet. Without this help, she thinks many seedlings wouldn't survive. In a 1997 study that she released, seedlings in the shade, which are likely to be short of food, got more carbon from donor trees. These plants are not really individuals in the sense that Darwin thought that they were individuals competing for survival of the fittest, said Simard in a 2011 documentary, Do Trees Communicate? In fact, they are interacting with each other, trying to help each other survive. So in this article, you can see that the trees are actually better humanitarians than humans are. Because they're helping each other survive. If they see someone else that is short on food or resources or the things that are needed to survive, they will actually transport and donate from themselves to help the other plant survive better. Whereas we human beings make feeding the homeless illegal and make homelessness in general illegal. So they're better at being humanitarians than we humans are. This is amazing. I've actually said for a number of years that plants are very conscious. They are extremely conscious beings that have a full, limitless communication system with each other. We just don't understand it because we're not plants. We can maybe tap into it a little bit and get an understanding that they do have it. But exactly how deep is it? The fact is they've been able to see that plants, trees for instance, can communicate with each other over many miles. The plants will actually warn each other when a large storm is coming, and the trees that are in the line of these storms will start prepping themselves ahead of time to protect themselves from the incoming storm, thanks to the warning that these other trees and plants have given them. You see, it's pretty amazing when you get down and think about it. They're very communicative and very, I think, actually intelligent. We just don't understand the way that they're intelligent. That doesn't mean that they aren't, though. And then finally, I wanted to bring this to your attention because this is something I think really, really bad, okay? Working at a lab with relatively low level 2 biosafety rating, University of Wisconsin-Madison professor Yoshihiro Kawakawa has created a strain of flu that can completely escape the human immune system. The new genetically engineered virus is based on H1N1, which may have killed 500,000 people just 5 years ago. I don't know about that one. But anyways, most people today have a level of immunity to the H1N1 flu, which is now regarded as a relatively low threat virus. Kawakawa genetically manipulated H1N1 so that it can escape our neutralizing antibodies. This would make the human immune system and population unable to resist an outbreak. He had to say that we are confident that our study will contribute to the field, particularly given the number of mutated viruses that we generated and the sophisticated analysis applied. The venue for the research was the Institute for Influenza Virus Research in Madison. The Institute has a level 3 agriculture biosafety rating, one level beneath institutes that carry out Ebola research. However, Kalakaua's work was carried out at a level 2 biosafety lab. The university claims there was no risk of escape from the lab. For reference, the recent anthrax contamination scare at Atlanta's Centers for Disease Control and Prevention had a level 3 biosafety rating. So this guy takes it upon himself, for whatever reason, to genetically modify the H1N1 virus to become completely immune to our ability to fight it off, and would completely eradicate the human species off the face of this planet. Now, what do you want to bet that this virus was not destroyed after the research was completed? I can guarantee you that there is a copy of that virus sitting around, probably at the CDC or Fort Detrick, for instance, in their basements, just waiting for the moment when it could be released. It wouldn't surprise me. It would not shock me at all. This is how these guys play the game. Okay, this is how they play the game for the future. So they have this virus on hand now. They will work on creating a counter agent to it. And as soon as one is created, then they will be able to have that as their weapon of choice if they so desire to use a biological weapon against the rest of humanity and basically inoculate those that they want to be remaining. This is how it goes. These things, what I just talked about right there, is a scenario that is really, really well known. And it's scary. But it's the way it goes. They like to play games, you know? They really do. These guys, the power elite, the power players, they love to play their games. They love to have on hand whatever methods and means that they can use to hold over the rest of humanity. How easy would it be for them to say at any given time, hey, by the way, we have this virus that can wipe out every single one of you. You'd better drop down on your knees right now and obey everything that we have to say, or everyone else is going to die, and we can just start over again. Hey, listen, what, 11,000 years ago, it has been genetically found that as of, I believe it was 11,000 years ago, it may have been 17,000 years ago, but whichever one, they have tracked the fact that we, all of us, 7 billion people on the face of this planet right now, are descendants from a grouping of about 5,000 people. So don't think that this type of stuff can't happen. Don't think that they would not be willing to say, hey, we're going to keep this 100,000 people here alive because we think that they're going to be essential. We think that they'll be good servants for us. So let's inoculate this 100,000. And, oh, let's carry this vial to the center of Times Square and drop it. And let's just see what happens. Let's see the chaos that ensues and start everything over again. We did it before. We can do it again. No problem at all. Wouldn't shock me. It's how these game players like to do. They'd love to hit that reset button sometimes. It's just how it goes. Pay attention, guys. This type of stuff is there. This type of stuff is there. And yes, it's scary, but the best way to act and react is to never show fear, never react with fear. Just pay attention. It's the best thing you can do. So, guys, listen, I'm going to take a break here real quick. When we come back, I'm going to get into the information about the TPP and the TPIP, and we'll start discussing some of the craziness that's going on as far as the monetary system is concerned, and the way that they're trying to shape things, leading us with breadcrumbs into the future, basically. So, guys, stick around with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
The L&M Radio Network and Late Night in the Midlands depends on you, the listener. Without you, there would be no us. So help us continue to bring you the best guests with the best information and subscribe today. Information on becoming an L&M subscriber can be found at the top of LateNightInTheMidlands.com. Just click the About Subscriptions tab and become part of the family while helping the truth stay alive. And while you're at it, maybe subscriptions aren't for you. A one-time donation helps as well. Click that donate button on the right side of LateNightInTheMidlands.com and help us help you.
There are days that the red pill is bitter in my stomach, but I can't get it back out. I think because I have to. I speak because I have no choice. I walk through this dark age we're in with open eyes. Listen to Open Eyes on LateNightInTheMidlands.com. And together, maybe we won't stumble and fall. Open Eyes looks for the truth in all things, no matter where it may lead. Whether it is the paranormal, government cover-ups, the dark agenda that the puppet masters are bringing to this world, or aliens and UFOs, no subject is taboo or off limits. Listen to Open Eyes Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on the L&M Network at LateNightInTheMidlands.com or OpenEyesNetwork.com, starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Open hearts, open minds, open eyes.
Skylark.
I love that song. That's a little bit of Raphael Lake there for you. We are golden. We definitely are. We are more than we appear to be. We are a lot more than what we seem to be on the surface. When you really get down to it, we are energy. We are all just these beautiful creations of the universe that are seeking out the new ways to be, the expanding our wings out just slightly every day. We really can make a big, big difference in other people's lives just by helping people out, by thanking people, by forgiving people. We are so much more than what we give ourselves credit for. And yet, the power players, the power elite, and those fools out there that like to troll people, that like to hold people down, they like to make us think that we're animals. They like to make us think that there's not really anything to the human being. We're just not even the sum of our parts. We're barely even functional. They do their best. They try their best to force people into thinking that we're just these sad, lonely things that have evolved on this planet and that there's nothing else out there. There's nothing else out there that's waiting for us. There's nothing else out there that could help us out or anything like that. Nah, we're just here. We're just here, so we may as well kill each other off because, you know, there's nothing else for us. Just give up and let it all go. That's what they try to do. They really try their best to do it. Personally, I'm tired of it. I would rather think that we are something much more than the sum of our parts. So guys, welcome back to Open Eyes. My name is Ira Robinson, and I want to talk to you a little bit about money. I want to talk a little bit about the insanity that goes on as far as money is concerned and how people get all twisted and tied up with it all. People don't really have an understanding of what the monetary system really is all about. They think that it's something that just gets them by, pays the bills, and that's it. And as long as they have that knowledge, that's all that's really important. But there's a lot of games that are played as far as the money system is concerned. I mean, let alone the fact that, especially here in America, but in other countries as well, we're subjected to a currency that's based on debt. We're subjected to a currency that has nothing solid behind it whatsoever and, well, is as useless as it can get and is easily manipulated because of that. I mean, they recreate it on a daily basis, essentially, right? They come forward and the only reason why it works is because they prop it up with things that they say. Oh, well, it's functional because it's tied to oil, and it's functional because, oh, well, we have a great economy here and blah, blah, blah. It's all lies. It's all fake. It's all smoke and mirrors. When you look at the core of it all, it's all fake and they know it. They just try to do what they can to suck all the resources away from the countries that they're in so that they can have all of the power, so that they can feel like they're mighty and like they're gods. And that's the game that they play. They're our gods and we are their servants. That's how they feel about us. Well, you know, to me, I don't think that way. I don't look at them as being anything more than useless roaches, essentially. I mean, that's what it comes down to. They're feeding off of our scraps. They're feeding off of our skin that sloughs off of us on a constant basis. That's all they are. They're just bugs. They're just insects. Well, anyways, guys, we are coming up on the time period here pretty soon where the taxes are due, where we are going to have to start filing our returns. I think, isn't it somewhere around January 25th or 30th is when they're actually going to start accepting returns at the IRS. Well, some information has come out that is disturbing to quite a few people, including myself. It bothers me because I do fall under at least partially the categories here. But the IRS essentially this year is really making it difficult for people to get a hold of them. Filing a return is about to get more complicated for millions of families because of President Barack Obama's health law. But they shouldn't expect much help from the Internal Revenue Service. This is part of an article that I ran across that really points out the problem here. If you got a question for the IRS, good luck reaching someone by phone. The tax agency says only half of the 100 million people expected to call this year will be able to reach a person. Callers who do get through may have to wait on hold for 30 minutes or more to talk to someone who will answer only the simplest of questions. This is a little disturbing because a lot of people contact the IRS because of issues that they're having. And here the IRS is flat out saying, we're not going to help you. Too bad. Good luck. Have fun. By the way, make sure you get it in on time or we're going to come and confiscate every damn thing that you own and maybe even throw you in jail. But good luck with that. The IRS will no longer help low-income taxpayers fill out their returns, and tax refunds could be delayed for people who file paper returns. So, low-income families, low-income households, screw you. You don't matter. Good luck. Again, if you don't file, we're coming to get you. But don't ask for our help. We're your masters and you must obey. This is how it is. Even though nothing has ever been ratified in the Constitution to allow for income tax on a federal level. Even though that doesn't exist. Oh yeah, well still that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. You still owe us. It's color of law. Don't worry about it. In its annual report to Congress, the Office of the National Taxpayer Advocate outlined a series of Internal Revenue Service failures. In the Access to the IRS section, the report details the trouble taxpayers face reaching the right person in order to meet their tax obligations. The IRS does not answer the phone at the local offices and has even removed the option that it once provided for taxpayers, including the elderly and disabled, to leave a message. Until 2013, taxpayers, including the elderly and disabled, were allowed to leave a voicemail requesting an in-person appointment. But now, elderly and disabled taxpayers attempting to navigate the automated helpline are asked to email the IRS to set up an appointment. The automated message instructs as follows. If you are disabled or elderly and require special accommodations for service, please email us at blank, blank, blank. I fall under this category because I'm disabled. I fall under the disabled category. So I'm lucky in the fact that not only do I know computer jargon and how to get around on the internet, but I have family here who does as well. My wife can help me with it if I can't see correctly to do the things that I need to do. I'm lucky with that. There are a lot of people out there who are not. There are many people out there who are literally on their own, whether they're disabled or not. And this bothers me. They're blaming it on the budget crisis and they're blaming it on the new healthcare law, but that doesn't matter. The fact is that this whole system, which should be something that every American should be able to have access to, and all the other Americans do, the elderly and disabled, are left out in the cold. So isn't that discrimination? I mean, is it truly, isn't that discrimination? I mean, the fact is that most elderly people have no clue how to use a computer. Okay, my mom is 80 years old and she is completely lost when she sits down at a computer. And yet she is supposed to fill out taxes every year still as well. And if she was to sit down and have a question about her taxes, she'd be out in the cold because she doesn't even have email. She uses our computer. She doesn't even have her own computer, you see. So the fact is that they are discriminating against a subset of Americans, the elderly and the disabled, which actually make up a decent sized amount of the population, whether you believe that or not. And this is just a couple of the disturbing things with the IRS. Last month at some point in time, I believe it was right around December 15th, I put out an episode where I talked about the fact that whistleblowers have come forward from the IRS, you know, whistleblowers from within the IRS have come forward and said that the IRS is literally having billion-dollar giveaways to companies and corporations. So, for instance, there are corporations that are getting away with not paying any kind of taxes whatsoever, even though they would owe $10 billion in taxes or $15 billion in taxes. They would not only not have to pay for it, they would actually be in negative refund status, which means that they actually get a refund. So they not only are not paying any taxes of the 15 or so billion dollars that they owe, but they're getting money back as well. This is craziness. And then they wonder why the economy is in such trouble. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. Obama said in his State of the Union address that the economy is fine. We've gotten through the dark time. Fun and games, right? It's a carnival ride. It really is. It's entertaining, but entertaining in a bad way. But, you know, the IRS has been getting away with doing stuff like this for a really long time. And it's disturbing because we the people, we the sheeple, we the great unwashed masses, if we were to owe them a freaking buck, they would be on our doorstep with loaded guns pointing us down saying, "Where's our money? Where's our money?" You know, I mean, literally, it's like a freaking drug dealer beating the crap out of somebody. "Where's my money? Where's my money?" This is exactly how the IRS acts. And yet when it comes to these mega corporations and these big shots and these wealthy, they're all right. It's fine. They're our friends. They can get away with it. Speaking of friends and getting away with stuff, I want to get into the Trans-Pacific Partnership. This, I don't know if you've heard much about it, but the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or the TPP, as well as the TTIP, the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, These two things are, well, they're hell on wheels. They really are. The TPP currently is involving 12 different countries. We have the United States, Canada, Australia, Brunei, Chile, Japan, Malaysia, Mexico, New Zealand, Peru, Singapore, and Vietnam. These are the ones that are involved in the TPP. The TPP is essentially, well, we don't really know a whole lot about it. And that's part of the problem. The TPP is a trade deal that is being secretly negotiated between these 12 different countries. And they're actually looking to include more countries within it, but these are the 12 that are currently known to be involved. There may actually be more at this point, and we just don't know. But the trade deal is very hush-hush. It is actually one of the most closely guarded secrets that is going on currently. And that is bothersome because this thing has the potential to, well, be the destruction of Western civilization as we know it. And you might think that I'm being melodramatic saying that, but I'm not. Just wait till you hear some of the things that are involved with it. We know that there are certain things that are in the trade deal at this point in time. We know this because of certain things that have been leaked out, thankfully, by people that have a conscience. Even members of Congress, which would ultimately be the ones to sign off on this deal, have no clue what's in this thing. They don't have any idea, and they've been denied seeing the text the entire time. It's been, like I said, in negotiations for at least the past 5 years, maybe up to 7 or 8. Meanwhile, more than 500 official corporate trade lobbyists or trade advisors have special access to this trade deal negotiations. The Obama administration wants to sign the deal as soon as possible. And he actually alluded to it in his State of the Union address on Tuesday that he wanted to make sure that the trade deals get pushed through. Although he didn't mention them by name, these are the ones that he's referring to, especially the TPP. The TTIP is, well, it's an even closer guarded secret. Almost nothing is known about what's going on with that one, but it's likely, and what information has come forward is that it's sort of a mirror of the TPP. So the things that are going on with the TPP, you could probably find in the TTIP as well. The thing is, people need to understand that this trade deal, this deal is not just economic in nature. It is basically, well, it's basically an end run around Congress. If it's adopted, the treaty is going to completely impact Western civilization. It is going to radically change it, radically alter it overnight. It covers things like internet freedom, healthcare, copyright and patent laws, food safety, environmental safety, civil liberties. This thing is, well, this thing is basically Obama's dream come true. And you can see that is a large reason why he would want to push this thing forward, because it has everything in it that he has been trying to work out since he got into office. These are all things that he has been pushing for since the day that he arrived. Every one of the little socialist programs, every one of the little backdoor scheming stuff that he's got going on, all of it is in this trade deal. It would essentially ban anything like Buy American. You would no longer see that at all. You know, Made in the USA? No, that would be gone. Basically, Elizabeth Warren, the senator, she wrote a letter to the White House, and in it she said, "I've heard the argument that transparency would undermine the administration's policy to complete the trade agreement because public opposition would be significant. If transparency would lead to widespread public opposition to a trade agreement, then that trade agreement should not be the policy of the United States. I believe in transparency and democracy, and I think that the U.S. trade representative should too." The trade representative is the person who is currently representing the United States in negotiating this treaty. And actually, Obama has tried to convince Congress multiple times to give him free rein to negotiate the treaty himself. But up to now, Congress has basically said no to that, which I suppose is one of the good things that they've done. Some of the things that are known in the treaty, at least at this point, were released by, well, let's see, it was WikiLeaks. They released it, as well as some people that have come forward out of the negotiations and have released some of the info. Let me read off a few of the things for you here, just so that you get an idea of the horror story in the making that this thing really is. So this one is the big one for me. This one is one that you've probably heard me talk about a couple of times with regards to the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Domestic court decisions and international legal standards, like overriding domestic laws on both trade and non-trade matters, foreign investors' rights to sue governments in international tribunals that would overrule the national sovereignty. This one is one basically that if a company was to claim that profits would be lost in regards to a law that's on the books or a regulation that is passed, let's say in the United States, the company could then sue the United States, or whichever country signs the agreement, could sue the United States for the amount of money that they claim that they would be losing as a result of this regulation. So, for example, if Kellogg's was to think that, okay, well, we're going to lose $1 billion in profit because we are now being forced to put the no GMO, or the fact that we are genetically modified organism, on our label, we're going to lose $1 billion because you've passed this regulation to say that we have to disclose that we have genetically modified organisms in our products. Well, then the United States government, i.e. you and me, would have to pay that $1 billion to Kellogg's for that lost profit. Now, this kind of thing has actually already happened a couple of times in the past. I'll get into that here in a little while. But if you don't think that companies would take full advantage of something like this, think again. It has environmental regulations like nuclear energy, pollution, and sustainability. Financial deregulation, more power and privileges to the bankers and the financiers. Food safety, such as lowering food self-sufficiency, prohibition of mandatory labeling of genetically modified products, or bovine spongiform encephalopathy, or mad cow disease. No more buying products locally. It would all have to be purchased through government entities. So you could not go to, for instance, the local farmer's market to buy your cucumbers and or tomatoes. You would have to actually purchase the cucumbers or tomatoes that are approved for sale directly by the government. This is what's in this trade deal, guys. Okay. You guys complain about Agenda 21. This is far, far beyond Agenda 21, I'm telling you. Monitoring and policing of user activity on the internet. So, for instance, ISPs, internet service providers, would have to take it upon themselves to monitor and track every single thing that every one of their users does while they spend time on the internet. And if they do anything that is considered wrong, then it is the ISP's responsibility to immediately report it to the government entities that would be in oversight of this particular law or this particular portion of the trade deal. And then that government entity would take steps to press criminal charges against the people who have done whatever it is that was classified as wrong. So, for instance, earlier in the news segment of this broadcast, I spoke about the new hacker regulations that Obama is trying to put forward, right? Remember that? Okay. So this would be a portion of that law. That whole thing is part of this TPP. Okay. So again, if you were to, let's say, go to the latenightinthemidlands.com chat room and see us talking about the fact that blackstrap molasses combined with baking soda 3 times a day, 1 tablespoon each, cured Michael Vera's father-in-law of cancer and cured Riscala of cancer 2x, that would be classed as a felony, and we would all be immediately subject to jail time. And the ISPs would have tracked everything that we did, tracked the keystrokes of the chat room to know exactly what it is that we were typing in and exactly what it is that we were saying to be able to then be classified as this felony. You see, this is far beyond 1984. This goes way beyond anything like that. This is as draconian as you can get. And it's scary. At least to me, because I spend a lot of time doing really weird research. I'll tell you that right now. I'm sure I'd be one of the first in line to be heading to jail. I'm telling you. And maybe you would too for just listening to a program like this. You don't know. That's the scary freaking part about this whole deal is that we don't damn well know what's in the thing because it's all being hidden from us every step of the way. It's being hidden from the public view so that we could not say, hey, stop, so that we don't uprise against them while they're doing this whole thing. Welfare regulations, workplace safety, relocating domestic jobs abroad. This is all part of this trade deal. Patent protection and copyrights, like decreasing access to affordable medicines. So in other words, it would remove the regulations that are in place that allow companies to develop a product or a medication, let's say, for instance, and only have the patent on it for, what is it, 2 years worth of time, which then they have to publish the exact formula of the medication after the patent has expired. That's what allows genetic genetic. That's what allows generic manufacturers to then put out generic products. And that's why also you get cases like my sister, who just found out that she has to pay $37,800 for a medication in order to save her life. $1,700 per dose. $1,700 per dose. There's an antibiotic on the market. If you remember me talking about the health information last week, there's an antibiotic on the market right now that costs $10,000 per dose. And once the patents on these things expire, at that point, generic products could be made and the prices are drastically lowered. The companies have to charge exorbitant prices when they first put the products out on the market so that they can recoup their losses from the research and development of their different products. This would basically eliminate that patent law. They would be allowed then to keep the patent forever instead of the patent expiring. Instead of the fact that after 20 years worth of time, any intellectual property becomes a part of the public domain unless it's been recopyrighted in that 20-year period of time, would be eliminated. So, in other words, you could listen to an Elvis tune, and if his songs were not recopyrighted by the holders of the copyright, which is the record company or the record label, if they hadn't reinforce their ownership of the copyright, after a 20-year period of time, it would become part of the public domain and anybody could do anything that they wanted to with it. That would no longer be the case with all of this. Same with books, research papers, all of that kind of stuff. After about 20 years worth of time, if I remember correctly, it's 20 years for everything, but I think some of them might have a shorter period of time. But this would eliminate the idea of public domain information. Whoever it is that holds the copyright on things will forever hold the copyright on them. And you might not think that that's necessarily a bad thing, but it really is, because it doesn't allow anyone to develop things on top of the developments, if that makes sense. It also has in it provisions to restrict access to essential services like water, electricity, and gas due to new types of investment rules. So, like, as far as food safety is concerned, any of our government's food safety regulations, like for pesticide levels, bacterial contamination, fecal exposure, so in other words, any poop that's in your water, toxic additives like fluoride, GMOs, non-edible filters, anything along those lines that are stricter than international standards, as most are, could be ruled as illegal trade barriers. So these restrictions, or these heftier regulations that the United States has become known for, such as our safety regulations in the way that sewage is treated and so on and so forth, and the fact that we don't have poop flowing down our streets every time that the rain falls, or the fact that our local river is not consumed with fecal matter upon all at any given time. All of these safety regulations and things like that, OSHA, all of that would be considered to be illegal trade practices, according to the TPP. Our Department of Energy would lose its authority to regulate exports of natural gas to any TPP nation. United States corporations would get special foreign investor protections to limit the cost and risk of relocating their factories to low-wage nations that sign on to this agreement. So in other words, if a nation has a lower worker standard than, let's say, the United States does, and their average minimum wage is, let's say, $1 per hour, that happens, right? You've heard about the sweatshop things in India and so on and so forth. Well, the companies would be able to move their factories to these different locations, and not only could they still do business and practice their business as they wanted, they would also essentially have their cost of the building of the new factories footed by whatever country it is that they were moving from. So if they were moving from the United States to, let's say, Vietnam, because the prices of wage labor, or, you know, the cost of labor is cheaper there, then the United States would have to foot the bill for the factory to be rebuilt in Vietnam. Wall Street and the financial giants in other TPP countries would make out like bandits. They certainly would. This is a banker's dream come true, and it is really Obama's dream come true. This whole thing is so far beyond what people would classify as the right thing to do. It really is. I mean, consider all of this stuff, people. Consider everything that I've been saying here so far. And I haven't even gotten into some of the bad stuff yet. So as far as the internet goes, you know, we've got the whole net neutrality thing going on. That would be completely useless and eliminated. The debate would no longer even be in existence because, well, the TPP would control everything as far as the internet is concerned. And you know, violations of these proposed rules with it all, it could be as simple as creating a YouTube video with clips from other videos, even if it's for personal or educational purposes, like it's okay to do right now through the whole fair use copyright laws. The fair use thing would be completely eradicated. It'd be gone. And that is something that is really essential, guys, because that's what actually keeps things truthful and honest. This stuff is what keeps the big guys looking over their shoulders at us, because we call them out with it all. As far as the whole TPP thing is concerned, this is one member of Congress. His staff came out and said about the TPP and the senator and the senator's access to it, said this: they have to go to a secure room without notebooks or even their staff to read what is being negotiated. They are then not allowed to discuss those documents with their staff. All of this information is in legalese, and unless they are an expert on the issues being addressed, it is going to be difficult for members to truly understand, without the help of their expert staff, just what these documents mean. So it becomes a thing just like Obamacare, where we have this massive, 3,000-page monstrosity that had to be passed in 2 days worth of time or 3 days worth of time. And, oh, well, we'll find out what's in it after it's passed. Thank you, Nancy Pelosi. This is even worse. This is even worse. It would abolish GMO labels as a barrier to trade. So they would not, the whole argument against GMO labeling would no longer even be needed. It just wouldn't happen. It would no longer be necessary. It would allow companies to sue countries for profits lost. This is Okay, so some of the big companies that are lobbying for this, for instance, are Comcast. Comcast has 10 lobbyists that are involved with this. Time Warner has, what, 4 lobbyists involved with it. 21st Century Fox has 3. Disney has at least 2, but there's probably 5 or 6. So, you know, all of these different corporations, they have all of these different lobbyists that are saying, hey, let's put this in. Let's put this in. Oh, hey, this will be fun. This will be great. Let's do this. It's a dream come true. It really is. Again, even Congress is being kept on a short leash. While a few Congress members have been allowed to redraft text of the trade agreement, they've also been sworn to secrecy about what they've seen. This is from an article regarding the TPP. I read some sections of a draft of the TPP that identified sections that were still being negotiated that did not identify what positions were being taken by which countries. This was from Florida Representative Alan Grayson. A number of staffers from the trade representative's office came, brought the document with them, and insisted on staying in the room and looking at me as I read the document. His general take on what he read, even if he can't reveal the details, was, it would be a punch in the face in the middle class of America, but I can't tell you why. So, of course, Obama is touting this treaty as a path to the economic recovery. As I said on Wednesday's episode, and how I said earlier, the president, see, I can't even spit that out very well, came out and said that he's wanting these trade negotiations to take place, that he's wanting these trade deals to come forward. He's looking to have it done by the end of his term so that this can be his legacy for the future of mankind. And he's just salivating and drooling over this whole thing. This is going to be not only something that is his dream come true and something that the corporations are loving and salivating over, but just imagine what this is going to do to you and me. Just sit back and imagine that for a minute. What is this going to do to us, the general population? I mean, Obama was talking on the State of the Union address, the whole middle class economics. He for some reason this term is invented for him here, okay? He kept coming out with middle class economics. We don't even have a freaking middle class anymore. They've eliminated it. We barely are holding on to the middle class right now. All of us are either delineated into poor or rich. There is no middle class anymore. So how he gets by saying, oh, middle class economics, well, we got to rely on the middle class to push forward the American agenda of having our dreams come true, because even a guy from Kenya can come forward and be president here. Oh, ho, 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 ho. You see, this whole thing is set from the beginning to destroy this country, to turn us basically into the third class or third world country that they really want to push us towards. That's my thoughts on it. I'm going to stick by my thoughts on it until something new comes around, because all I see with this is trouble. All I see with this is the clouds on the horizon, and it bothers me, and I hope it bothers you too. So guys, I'm going to take a quick break here. When I come back, I'm going to talk a little bit more about money, and specifically I'm going to get into some of the crazy things that I have run across that this government has spent on. Some of the some of the weird, stupid things that our money is down the toilet with. So make sure you stick around with it. It's going to be really interesting, I think. Stick around. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Tune into The Family Factor with Denny C. every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning at 5 a.m. as he looks at all the challenges facing the family today. Denny will give you a refreshingly new look at tackling some of the biggest issues. So start your day off on the right foot with Denny C. and The Family Factor, right here on the New Spark Radio Network and K98Talk.com.
Sunshine.
Fear. Why aren't you afraid? Fear it all.
You are not afraid. There must be something wrong with you. You're a conspiracy theorist.
Here, have some drugs. You're laughing too much.
Here, we have this drug developed that actually stops you from laughing.
Oh, there's side effects?
Well, here, have some more drugs to counter those side effects. Now, don't worry, that side effect drug itself might kill you or make you bleed from your anus, but that's okay. Now you're normal. Now you're conforming. Good little minion. You will do well in the new world that we're creating. Oh, you don't like that thought? Here, have some more. Oh, this one is waking up a little bit. Here, watch Nicki Minaj's new Anaconda video. It's totally original except for all of the parts that have been rehashed from other songs from before. Watch the video. She's shaking her butt. Isn't that enticing? Oh, now you can join the other 250 million people that have watched this video in the past 2 weeks since it was released.
Do you see they love to distract, to pull you away from the deeper thoughts, from the things that they know would end them in a heartbeat? They don't want us to know these things. They've been doing it to us since the beginning.
You know, listening to a song like that, it really puts a lot of hope in my mind. It really sends me into a really nice state of mind. I love listening to things like that that are just so powerful, so, well, the only word I can think of is epic. Just such potency in it, where you can just close your eyes and sit back and think, wow, my imagination is reeling now. I'm just so amazed with the way that music can change your state of mind, can change your focus, can make it so that you can sit back and relax and maybe even think, gosh, there might just be hope for humanity yet. There might just be something to look forward to tomorrow instead of the darkness that we had today. I love stuff like that. I really do. Hello again. My name is Ira, and you are listening to Open Eyes. I hope that you guys are enjoying the show so far. I have done a lot of research on these topics that I'm bringing you tonight, and I gotta say, there really are a lot of people out there that are trying to bring this information forward. There are a lot of people that are researching all of this stuff and trying their hardest to bring these things to light. And I'm grateful that there are at least some people in the, I guess you could say, higher echelons of things that maybe have a conscience left, so that they can come out with this information as well and can come forward with the things that they are doing in the back alleys and the back hills. And hopefully people in general, we the people, we the great unwashed masses, hopefully we are paying enough attention so that we can put a stop to all of this stuff before it really gets a foothold. Guys, we have the power. We really do. When it comes to money, we may be under their spell at this point in time, but when it comes to everything, we really do have the power in our hands. We could come together as one and say enough is enough, and it's all ended right now. Right now, it's done. It really is as simple as that. But it takes us working together. And unfortunately, there are out there at this point in time people who are trying to fight against the fight against these things. And a lot of them are there because of the fact that they're disinfo agents, they're trolls, they're hired to go out into the masses and say, hey, there's nothing wrong here. This is a great deal. We should follow through with it. It's wonderful. It's amazing. We don't have to do it. We don't have to put up with it, guys. We can end it in a heartbeat. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the things that I've researched and run across that show some of the stupidity that our government entities have spent money on, so that you guys can get a good idea of the deranged thinking that goes on with the people that we supposedly put into office. I don't believe that, by the way. I think that anything above county level is, if you try to vote on anything above county level, it's useless, really, because it's all fixed. But, you know, these are the actors that they've put onto the stage for all of us to watch, so we have to pay attention to them, right? Well, here are some of the things that they've spent money on that is our money. It really is. I mean, the amounts that I'm going to talk about are exorbitant and they're kind of hard to think about, but they're ours. It's our blood, sweat, and tears that are going into these different projects and different things that are funded. So, for instance, the TSA, or Transportation Security Agency, let 5,700 pieces of unused security equipment worth $184 million sit in storage in a Dallas, Texas warehouse, which costs $3.5 million annually to lease and manage. Taxpayers lost another $23 million in depreciation costs because most of the 472 carry-on baggage screening machines had been housed there for 9 months or more. $184 million just sitting and collecting dust. Useless. $184 million. The National Science Foundation used part of a $500,000 grant to develop a video game that simulates a high school prom. A video game simulating a high school prom. $500,000. The U.S. Air Force of Scientific Research spent $300,000 on a study that concluded the first bird on Earth probably had black feathers. Well, isn't that interesting? Was that worth the $300,000? Did the information that I just tell you, that the first bird on planet Earth probably had black feathers, was that worth $300,000 to you? The Office of Naval Research spent $450,000 on a study that determined unintelligent robots do not have the ability to maintain a baby's attention. $450,000 to find out unintelligent robots don't hold a kid's attention. A shoebox doesn't hold a kid's attention for more than a couple of minutes. Let alone spending $450,000. You know, I got three kids. Two of them living here at home. One of them older. I've had three kids. I've had a lot of kids in my life. And I could tell you for a fact that nothing is going to hold a kid's attention for more than a couple of seconds on average. Where's my $450,000? The U.S. Air Force of Scientific Research spent $681,387 on a study to confirm that men look manlier, taller, and stronger when carrying a firearm. Getting to the Internal Revenue Service here, the Internal Revenue Service spent $4.1 million, $4.1 million on a lavish conference in 2010 for 2,609 of its employees in Anaheim, California. Expenses included $50,000 for line dancing and Star Trek parody videos. What does Star Trek parody videos have to do with the Internal damn Revenue Service? I like Star Trek. I like Star Trek parody videos, but I'm not going to expect somebody to spend $50,000 to put one on for me. $135,350 for outside speakers, $64,000 in conference swag for the employees, plus free meals, cocktails, and hotel suite upgrades. $4.1 million. In 2010, 117,000 people who double-dipped into Social Security's Disability Insurance Program and the Federal Unemployment Insurance Program received $850 million in cash benefits. Did you know that golfers who imagine that the hole is bigger boost their confidence and accuracy? Well, thanks to the Science Foundation at the Purdue University, and $350,000 in money from you and me, now you do. In 2012, the U.S. Department of Agriculture spent $300,000 on activities promoting caviar produced in Idaho. $300,000 to promote caviar produced in Idaho. I don't eat caviar. I don't know anybody else who does. Everybody that I've ever known that's tasted it thinks it's disgusting and is the worst thing on the face of the planet. I certainly would not spend $300,000 to promote caviar, especially the ones that are grown in Idaho. Ugh. A $100,000 grant from the National Endowment of the Arts funded a video game that depicts a female superhero sent to save planet Earth from climate changes allegedly caused by social issues that affect women. 1,000 prisoners in Pennsylvania collected weekly unemployment benefits over a four-month period, costing taxpayers $7 million. You gotta love the oversight on some of these programs. The government spends about $100 million every 4 years to subsidize parties at political conventions. $100 million just to hold their parties at the political conventions. The Department of Agriculture spent $2 million to fund an internship program. The program hired one full-time intern. $2 million for one full-time intern. Last year, $120 million was paid to dead federal employees. A total of $146 million was paid for federal employees to upgrade their flights to business class. The government spent The government spent $2.6 million to encourage Chinese prostitutes to drink more responsibly. You can't make this stuff up. $2.6 million to teach Chinese prostitutes to drink more responsibly. What in the flying frickin' frackety frack are we spending any money for Chinese prostitutes to learn anything, let alone prostitutes, period, to learn to drink more responsibly? Oh my God, my head is gonna freaking explode, I'm telling you. The Department of Health and Human Services provided an $800,000 subsidy to build an IHOP in Washington, D.C. Apparently, Congress really wants its frickin' pancakes because they spent $800,000 of you and me's dollars to build one. The National Institutes of Health have given $1.5 million to Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston to study why three-quarters of lesbians in the United States are overweight and why most gay males are not. I find it interesting with that one because that one is actually where the shooting actually just took place this week. During 2012, $25,000 of federal money was spent on a promotional tour for the Alabama Watermelon Queen. Now, I didn't even know that Alabama had a Watermelon Queen, let alone that $25,000 was needed to subsidize her tour. Does she wear one on her head? All I'm doing is picturing this woman in a watermelon costume. I don't know why. Maybe that's just me. The U.S. government spent $27 million to teach Moroccans how to design and make pottery. $27 million. You know, most towns have a little community class that takes place that teaches pottery. You could have just flown them over here, taken them to the nearest center that teaches that kind of stuff, and would have saved probably $20 million at least, right? Over the past 15 years, a total of approximately $5.25 million has been spent on hair care services for the United States Senate. Not the whole of Congress, just the Senate. A total of $10,000 of U.S. taxpayer money was actually used to purchase talking urinal cakes in Michigan. Talking urinal cakes. I'm trying to picture what that would even look like, or what context would those type of things be used in? Hey, you missed. Hey, you missed. No, you just pissed on the floor, you idiot. Into the bowl. I'd probably pee on it just to make it shut up. The National Institute of Health recently gave $666,000 to a group of research. That's an interesting number, actually. $666,000 to a group of researchers that is conducting a study on the benefits of watching reruns on television. What? The National Institute of Health also spent $592,527 on a study that sought to figure out once and for all why chimpanzees throw poop. The IRS spent $60,000 on a film parody of Star Trek and a film parody of Gilligan's Island. So apparently at that convention, they not only did the Star Trek parody, but they also did a Gilligan's Island parody, which I thought Gilligan's Island was already kind of a parody to begin with. Alrighty. The federal government spent $75,000 to promote awareness about the role that Michigan plays in producing Christmas trees and poinsettias. Yeah. Alrighty. Well, guys, this is just like some of the, just a small tidbit of some of the craziness that they have spent money on. I mean, this is, look, the U.S. government has spent $175,000 to determine if cocaine makes Japanese quail engage in sexually risky behavior. I kid you not, $175,000 to find out if cocaine makes Japanese quail engage in sexually risky behavior. Now, I, as far as I'm aware, cocaine pretty much makes everything and everyone engage in risky sexual behavior, let alone Japanese quail. Why specifically Japanese quail? And why do you have to spend $175,000 on that? I'm sure you could get coke a lot cheaper than that. The Obama administration plans to spend between $16 and $20 million helping students from Indonesia get master's degrees. Well, he's already trying to make college free for everybody, right? So why not help Indonesia out as well? According to the Heritage Foundation, the U.S. military spent $998,798 shipping two 19-cent washers from South Carolina to Texas, and $293,000 sending an 89-cent washer from South Carolina to Florida. I'm sure they probably could have rented a car, dropped it in the back seat, and drove it there a hell of a lot cheaper than whatever method they used to deliver them things, I'm telling you. I mean, you catch that, though? That is like nearly, what? 1.3 million of you and I's dollars completely wasted. What would you be able to do with $1.3 million in your life right now? What, honestly, what would you be able to do with $1.3 million in your life right now? Imagine that. Now imagine that that money was spent sending two 19-cent washers across the country and one 89-cent washer from, like, what, three states distant. The National Institute of Health paid researchers $400,000 to find out why gay men in Argentina engage in risky sexual behavior when they are drunk. The National Institutes of Health also once spent $442,000 to study the behavior of male prostitutes in Vietnam. You know, for a government that tries so hard to fight against gay marriage, they sure do have a lot of curiosity about gay men, don't they? I mean, look how much money is spent on them. And the National Institute of Health also spent $800,000 in stimulus funds to study the impact of a genital washing program on men in South Africa. What the crap? $800,000 to study the impact of a genital washing program? You want to know the impact? Their balls ain't gonna stink anymore. There's the impact. Where's my $800,000? And these are just a teeny fraction of some of the stupidity that our money gets spent on. And again, I'm trying to reiterate this because every time that you hear about spending plans and about the government is wasting money on this and the government is wasting on that, they're always saying, oh, well, the government used or spent $2.3 million to do this and this and this. No, it needs to be reiterated. They spent $2.3 million of your money doing this and this and this. If the media was honest, that's how they would put it. They would put it exactly how it is. $800,000 of your good money was spent trying to figure out what would happen if guys wash their nuts. I mean, they're constantly crying poor mouth. They're constantly going on about how they can't pay their bills. And the public is always screaming about, oh, well, it's the welfare. It's the welfare programs. It's the Social Security programs. We got to get rid of those. Those things are killing us. It's the entitlement programs. Oh. We got to get rid of them. We can't help them out. They need to go out and get a damn job. We can't help them out. And yet you see this list that I'm telling you here of all this money that is just completely blown. And meanwhile, $2.3 trillion comes up missing from the Pentagon, and no one remembers this because of a little incident with a couple of planes. I mean, great timing on that little announcement, Donald Rumsfeld. It was almost like you guys planned it. Meanwhile, they spend over $700 million on a healthcare website that didn't work, that still has issues, and was never wanted by the American people to begin with. We really are living in an insane country. I mean, this is the stuff that we are subjected to. This is the stuff that we are forced to deal with and forced to face. And we need to put a stop to it. You and me, we need to put a stop to this crap because this is what's killing us. You and I do the right thing. You and I do what we're supposed to do. We pay our taxes. We pay our money. We give to other people. We help where we can. Right? At least I hope you do. And yet this government does everything that it can to crap all over every single one of us on a daily basis. Look at this trade deal that they're trying to make. This is going to destroy everything that is held sacred. And yet, it's probably going to be forced on us because nobody's standing up. The media is not talking about it. The general population has zero clue that any of it is going on. And one day we're going to wake up. We're going to face this 3,000 or 4,000 page deal coming up before Congress. And, oh, you guys have to sign this within 2 days. And we'll figure out what's in it after that. Look, they just passed the budget bill right before the end of the year, right? For this year. And some of the things in it are just absolutely crazy. And if you don't think that they would do something like this with this trade deal, think again. $5.4 billion were allocated to fight Ebola in Africa. $5.4 billion was allocated to fight Ebola in Africa. $5 billion is allocated to fight ISIS. And yes, I'm actually using the correct term. Remember, it's ISIS. It's not ICE. It's not ISIL. It's not ISON. It's ISIS. It's the derivative of the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service. Make sure whenever anybody says anything about, oh, well, ICE, the Islamic State, blah, blah, blah. No, you need to correct them. ISIS. $5 billion allocated to go fight them. How? They're our friends, right? This is the one that kills me. $479 million were allocated to buy four F-35s, which are not wanted. They don't fly. They don't work. They don't turn. They can't climb. They're completely useless. They can't even shoot their guns. And yet we're buying four more of them for $479 million. $479 million is just completely wasted. Wasted. Just gone. But Congress, in their infinite wisdom, did something good with their budget bill. They made it possible now for them to increase the amount of campaign funds that are contributable by an individual or by a corporation by a factor of 10. They made it so that now, instead of people being able to only contribute up to, oh, let's say $30,000, now they can contribute up to $3.5 million. They also gave themselves a raise. Again, right? What really gets me about this whole F-35 thing is the fact that we have, at this moment in time, a minimum of 2.5 million children in this nation that are homeless. We have millions of homeless people here in America. And with that $479 million that was just pissed away on these planes, they could have, and this is the absolute truth here. They have estimated this. With that $479 million, they could have purchased a mansion for each and every homeless person in America just with that alone. And yet they felt the need to cut the welfare programs by, what, $93 million? They cut the women and children and infant funds by millions of dollars. They felt the need to do that. They felt that it was okay to do that, but not to use that money to help anyone. No, the only people that got helped with that was Lockheed Martin, because Lockheed Martin was the driving contributor to these people's campaign funds to push them into the office. So they have to pay back their friends. They have to give their friends the cash. They have to give the payouts. Thank you. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Here, have $479 million for a plane that we all know doesn't do squat, never has, never will. We did good, didn't we? Wow. Yeah, now we can kick back and make our millions while we sit here in office, because the lobbyists are just going to be fawning over every one of us. You see, guys, this is how it goes. This is the things that we're subjected to. These are the things that we're punished with. And I do believe it is a punishment. But we have hope. We can turn things around. We can make a difference. Treat people better. I say this for a reason. The way that the energy works in the world is that the leaders are a reflection of us. I fully believe that. I see it. The leaders are reflecting what we, the consensus of humanity, has going on. If we're busy doing dark things, the leaders are going to be busy doing dark things, because they're reflecting what we're doing. If we're open and honest and helpful in our lives with other people, they're going to be open, honest, and helpful in their dealings as well, because they reflect what happens. If we, as the general consensus of humanity, are honorable and have integrity, then they will be honorable and have integrity, because we won't allow them to be anything else. That's how it goes. That's the thing that you guys have to keep in mind and what you have to focus on. So, guys, with all of that, I am unfortunately out of time. And I really hate to be, because I had a lot more that I wanted to speak about and a lot more that I wanted to bring forward. But that's okay. We'll hit this topic again at a future date, because I actually plan on doing the spending stupidity here and there. I get a kick out of it, because it just makes me shake my head and wonder why people allow them to get away with doing this stuff. I speak out against it as much as I can and as often as I can, and I hope that you do as well. So, guys, if you want to send me an email, I welcome any feedback that you want to give. You can send it to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. You can go to the show notes for this show, which will be on my website at openeyesnetwork.com/OE062. Just going to openeyesnetwork.com in general, you can access all of our archives and see what we have to offer. I have a lot of shows available for you guys. If you want to find us on Facebook and Twitter, you can go to our Facebook and Twitter pages at Open Eyes Network, or you can find me as Ira Robinson on Facebook. On scene.is, I am at Ira Robinson as well. Be sure to stay around. Michael Vera will be broadcasting Late Night in the Midlands in just a few minutes. And guys, be sure to tune back in and join us again on Monday. I'm not sure exactly what the subject will be yet, but I will announce it over the weekend. Again, that will be starting on Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until next time, keep safe out there and have fun. And thank you so much for listening.